Father will clothe us in his Son in this last hour. He will surely clothe us in light and the brightness of his image, the brightness of his glory, the express image. He will surely clothe us in this house, all over this house. Clothe us in this place, Father, with the glory that's been restored. Christ has restored our glory. Clothe us in it. Be you clothed. Be you filled. We bear the image as we have borne the image of the earthly. We bear the image. The word bear means we wear the image of the heavenly. We wear it now. We want the image, the final image of Christ. We want the glory, the light, the love, the fullness. There is a room of transfiguration where you're transfigured from glory to glory. It is for those, says the Spirit of the Lord, that are hungry and that are thirsty. It is for those who keep my word against all adversity. It is for those who have said no to the world and has followed me to glory. It is for those that have followed me daily, taking up their cross to follow me into the Father. My image is the reward, my image, the glory that I have purchased, restored, and prepared for you. This is your crown, says the Spirit of the Lord. Receive all over this house. Hunger with a compass, says the Spirit of grace. Hunger with wisdom by your side. And in your foundation. Come and eat from my table. Come and drink of the wine that I have mingled for you. Come out from among them. Come and bear the image of the heavenly. The world will see. Come and bear. Come and exchange. Come and exchange. As I did with my Father, so will you do with me. As I am, so are you. For the glory that I have had with my Father in the beginning, I give, receive what I have given, what I have purchased, what I have prepared. Be you clothed, be you filled with all good things. You know, when Carlos and I was talking this week, he brought something out. He said, the children of Israel came out. Moses. He said, borrow all the wealth of Egypt. They'll freely give it to you. He said, take it and put it on your sons and daughters. And we were sitting there pondering why God would have them put that wealth upon the sons and the daughters. The adults should have been wearing it. But he said, take the wealth of Egypt and put it on your sons and daughters. As a prophetic generation, God said, this is an administration of grace. The adults worked in the brickyard. The adults labored, but the children were children of grace. So they freely inherited those things they did not labor for. And the Father's saying in this hour, I'm going to give the inheritance to the children. This will not be a move of just the adults, of the great ones in the earth. For all my people will be great in this hour. The sons and daughters will be adorned with the riches of heaven. You will freely receive those things you did not labor for. It was purchased for you from above. I will bring my people out of works. I will bring them out of hard bondage. I will bring them out of toil. I will freely administrate my inheritance. Receive clothe us, Lord. In thine own self and the Father, clothe us. Clothe us freely. Clothe us. I want to say, clothe me. It is in the high places with me, says the Spirit of the Lord, that I will administrate this inheritance. The gates will be open, for I promise to open them. I alone hold the keys, as the Spirit of the Lord. I said that I would open these gates for you. I would open the doors. A door that would swing wide, both to heaven and to earth. Swing wide, you heavenly gates. A free access to those things that were not accessible in the generation before you. But now are restoring fully, fully. This is your inheritance. It's in my mountain. As it was for Moses, so shall it be for you. I will teach you to come up into my mountain. I've been teaching you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I brought you to this place to learn of me. You are the ones that dwell in my mountain. You will find my glory there, a glory like nothing you have ever seen, a glory that will transform and transfigure the very clothes that you wear, a light reserved for a very dark hour of human history. Arise and shine. Thy light has come. The glory of the Lord shall arise upon thee. See, there's a convergence. You know, we've been talking about the book of Revelation these last days, and the Lord started shifting me back into this union. He said, the two operations are converging. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, that which will flow out of my people and that which is flowing into them. Your position, your identity, the union you have with me, that is one stream. What flows out of that is another stream. All of that converges in one place. All of it's released from one place. And he goes, I'm not shifting you. I am converging. There's a difference. Everyone say converge. He said, these words are going to bring you to your inheritance. And he started speaking to me about the restoration of our image. He said, there's a lot that happened, but the ultimate purpose of God sending his son was not just to save us, not just to deliver us, not just to even resurrect us, not just to fully reconcile us, not just to seat us, not just to grant us an inheritance, but grant us the inheritance of the restoration of our image. The very first thing in the garden that was lost, when God told them, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they ate from it, the first thing that happened, they knew they were naked. And what did they do? They went and tried to clothe themselves. What were they clothed with before? They were trying to get fig leaves. And God told them, who told you you were naked? How do you know you were naked? They obviously had some type of clothing on them. Because the first thing that happened is they lost it. They lost their clothing. Wasn't like the clothes we wear. They knew they were naked. Who told you you were naked? And Eve goes, wasn't my fault. Adam goes, wasn't my fault, it's her fault. And then Eve goes, wasn't my fault, it's the devil's fault. Didn't matter whose fault it was. They lost their glory. Man was made in the image and the likeness of God. One of the great things that man had was the covering of Father God himself, the glory of God. God always, even in the tabernacle in the wilderness, God sat down on that tabernacle. God and man was meant to be one. Amen. And God was our clothing. It was our covering. Immediately the Lord began, the Father began the plan to redeem man. Even in Psalms it says, what is man? They're mindful of him. Made him a little lower than the angels. Then you crowned him. Say crown. That crown was from Stephanus in the New Testament. It was encompassed him. with glory. That was speaking expressly of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 2 said he was made lower than the angels. One time the Lord Jesus was made lower than the angels. At the suffering of death for every one of us, he was made lower than the angels. And then the Father crowned him. It said crowning encompassed him with glory. He restored that glory. That image was restored upon Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews, says in the brightness of his glory. Hebrews 1, he says, in the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person. The glory of God is full of light. There's a lot of attributes about the Father. His greatest are his love and his glory. In John 17, the Lord said, Father, clothe me in thine own self with the glory that I had with thee from the beginning. He knew he was going to the cross, but he knew he already had the glory. It was on him. He restored it for us. He went to the cross to restore this glory. God wants to clothe us in this glory. He wants to clothe us in this hour, in this glory. He's going to clothe his bride, who should be without spot and wrinkle. Don't even think for a second you're going to be able to perfect yourself by keeping rules, mandates, and laws here. There is no perfection. They kept it for thousands of years under the old, and it never obtained what God was looking for. A body thou hast prepared for me. A sacrifice thou hast prepared. By one sacrifice thou hast forever perfected them that have been sanctified. Say, I am forever perfected. That is your positional standing. It's faith that enters into that. It's faith that enters into the perfection of who you are. God sees you as perfect. God sees you. The Father's image is not the problem. It's your image. It's your image is what keeps you from that room. He said, if your hearts condemn you, don't worry about it. God's greater than what's condemning your heart. God's image is not the problem that's been restored. It's our image. It's the kind of image that wants to run when we don't do good. We don't feel good. We want to run. We want to hide, like how to cover us in some fig leaves. Hide me. I don't know how to get through that veil when I don't feel, or when I've done, or I have this shame or guilt or condemnation. I don't want to get through this veil. It's faith that overrides that. It's the knowledge of the truth, to know that you're forever perfected in him. It's the knowledge of truth that you are accepted in the beloved, that he's presenting you faultless. Everyone say, he presents me faultless, unblameable, unreprovable. You have to be presented that way. You can never obtain the perfection the Father's looking for. That's why you got to go in Christ. You got to go up into the Father through him. You're not going to get to go around him. The Father will not accept it. It's not perfect. God the Father accepts the perfect in Christ. You come up through him. That's why Christ is your mediator. Amen. To bring us to the Father, to be loved and to be clothed. He reconciles us to the Father to restore us to love and to restore us to glory. And it's that glory, that restoration of that glory, that causes us to be in him and him to be in us. It's the restoration of that glory that when you're clothed, he comes back with you. And things start happening. He starts doing the works again. There is a place of exchange. Amen. I want you to see this verse. It's really powerful. 1 Corinthians 15. All of creation groaneth. Say, groans. It's your spirit's groaning for the manifestation. I know that speaking for this natural body to put on resurrection life, that's the culmination of all things. But this generation is going to see some serious culmination before that happens. We're groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Your spirit's groaning. What do you think that gnawing is on the inside of you that never leaves? You wouldn't be in this church if you didn't have that gnawing on the inside of you. You're here because that's inside. What do I do with this? That gnawing will turn to frustration if it's not satisfied. That frustration will turn into all manner of stuff if you don't satisfy it. Your spirit man must be satisfied. And the world cannot satisfy this type of hunger. Man cannot satisfy it. Gifts cannot satisfy it. Nothing can satisfy it. Not even promotion can satisfy it. Only God in His mountain will satisfy that. God set a compass on the inside of you to climb His mountain, to dwell with the Father in the high places. I have learned to turn. You got to learn to turn. Don't walk around dissatisfied and frustration. You learn to turn into God. You learn to pass right through those thieves that are standing at the door to try to push you out, distract you. They scream at you. They don't want you to go through that door. I don't care what I feel like going in. I never feel the same coming out. There is an exchange. And the Lord said, just as you've learned to exchange in the rest, when you come in the rest, you can unload the world. He goes, that's just beginnings. I'm like, that's pretty good, Lord. You know, you get proud of yourself sometime. I can do that. Hallelujah. I can turn this trial around. He said, these are just beginnings. He goes, what I really want is I want to transform you. I don't want you to just come into me where you know how to unload a burden. Ministers don't even know how to unload burdens. They carry them. They're buried with them. They wear the world system. They wear trespasses, offenses. It's not easy being with a sheep. They wear that stuff. You can take all that off. You can put it off of you. But that's just the beginning. What the Lord wants is transformation. I'll tell you what He wants is transfiguration. There is a place of transfiguration. He's starting to open a room. I'm like, oh, there it is. I don't know how you find these rooms other than keep His word. It's the only way to find these places. When God's on you, it's strength. It's light. It's love. When He's not, it's misery. The worst thing you can do is obtain the glory and walk away from it. There's a price. Once you start touching God's glory, this is what the apostles, what happened to them. They touched the glory of God. Everything else, it means nothing. You live for that place. You breathe for it. But it's the wisdom that gets you there. It's not enough to be hungry in this hour. Misplaced hunger will get you in the wrong place. You have to have the proper compass to get where we're going in this hour. Amen. A compass that's set by the word of God. Glory. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth. Earthy. Say earthy. Earthy. That is Adam. Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. Unfortunately, we wear part of the earthly. Jesus redeemed our spirit, but our body's still earthy. Unregenerated parts of our soul is earthy. But as is the heavenly, look at this, such are they also that are heavenly. Do you hear that? As is the earthy, you'll bear the image of it. We already know what the image of the earthly looks like. As the heavenly is, we'll bear His image too. Say, we'll bear the image of the heavenly. That's the image you want. As we have borne the image of the earthly, the Bible says we shall also bear. That word shall is not in the original. We bear it now. We'll definitely bear it fully when we're glorified bodies in the culmination of all things, but we bear the image now. Amen? So read it like that. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we also bear the image of the heavenly. Say, I bear the image. You know what bear means? It means to wear like clothing. As we wear the image of the earthly, you wear this body, whether you like it or not. We also, say we also, wear the image as clothing of the heavenly. Of the heavenly. Father, clothe me. You got to get used to the idea when you go into prayer, God's there to love you and to clothe you. God wants, when you meet the Father, He wants to love you, He wants to clothe you, and then He wants to answer your prayers. God wants your image restored. He didn't make us like this. He made us in His image to wear His glory. When He looks at man, He said, that's not my glory. You are to bear the image of the heavenly. Christ is the image. Wear Him. Don't try to wear Him in your own strength. That's not what this is about. You put Him on in heavenly places. He's heavenly. You go there and you put Him on. Amen. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Put on the new man. Put on light. That glory, that image is light. It's brightness. Go to Hebrews 1. Just got to learn to stay up there, dear Lord. See, when you get an encounter, you think you're going to stay there. The only thing that will hold you up in an encounter is His word and faith. Because when you come out of the encounter, like, I'm trying to get back. If you don't know how, you'll sink back down. The worst thing ever is to have Ichabod written across your door. If you're going to have the glory, you got to stay with it. It's costly, but it's glorious. And we have to be trained to stay there. We have to be trained to walk in that place. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke something else to change my life forever. He said, I can change you with trials, and I have. I can change you with a two-edged sword. I can cut away your flesh in the judgment seat of Christ, and you've experienced that. It's painful, but it's sure effective. He goes, but there is a place of change that's not from the side of my severity. It's from my goodness. Some of those things, this severity, He's dealing with you. Because there's a place of goodness where I change you strictly out of goodness. And He goes, that's in my glory. That's where I change you. And transform you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm getting glimpses of this room now, of where this is, what it is. All these scriptures were coming through and they were building an image, see. Say, but we all, with open face, unveiled face. He was distinguishing people under the law and people under grace in that whole chapter. And He says, listen, we're not like Moses that had to put a veil over him. See, Moses captured the glory, but he had to veil it. He went up and got the glory and got on his face. God clothed him, clothed his countenance with the glory of God. He was so powerful when he come off the mountain, he had to put a veil because the glory was emanating from him. I was a man wearing the image of God. He put a veil. He says, but we all with open face, say open, unveil. You're not going to see this glory if you have veils on. You're not going to partake of this glory. You have to be unveiled. There are thousands of them. To describe a veil to you, how many of you ever just been in the glory of God and you come up out of the glory and somebody that's in a having a flesh fit comes and just unloads on you? You ever had that happen? And you went from glory to, oh, you just got veiled with somebody's stuff. I've seen it in here when people come in here, they're hungry, thirsty, and then something happens in here. They move from the front row to the third row. But you can see it. You can see they're hungry and they're thirsty, and all of a sudden they're shut off. You're preaching, but they can't hear you. It's amazing. When someone's veiled, you can preach all day long gold to them, but they cannot hear you. They are veiled. They're in here. They're hearing with the ears, but nothing's coming through. Veils. Trespasses. Unforgiveness. Veils. The Lord is the one that unveils you. As you go before Him every day, He's doing the unveiling. He's ultimately getting you to a place. But we all say we all with open face. See, the Lord's going to create that open door and an open face. He's the one that has to remove the veils. You got to go before Him. We can help with things like sozo. Say we all with open face. Say open face. Beholding as in a mirror the glory. Say the glory. That glory is the restored image of man that the Father gave to the Lord Jesus at His ascension. He reclothed the Lord Jesus in the glory, the original glory we had. Jesus fully restored it and wears it now and was wearing it. He says we're all changed into the same what image from glory to glory. Do you know what that word change means? Metamorpho, metamorpho, metamorph you. Do you know what it means? Transformation. You know what else it means? It's the exact same word used for transfiguration when the Lord went into the mountain of God and He brought His disciples to watch something. He said, come up in here. I want you to see something. I believe that the disciples got a glimpse of what the Lord's prayer time looked like with the Father. We know this because the Lord said, He goes, do you not believe that the Father's in me, Philip? Who do you think's doing these works? We saw that transformation. He lit His clothes up. Now, I'm not telling you your clothes will light up. They might. But you will light up. Under the transfiguration of God, there is a place of transfiguration where the glory of God takes who you are, transitions you into who Christ is. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And you come back wearing the glory. And it affects services, it affects things around you, it affects the atmosphere you're walking in. That glory, you know something's going to happen because you're wearing it. You know, you're not waiting, hoping, wishing, trying to stir you. It's on you. You're wearing it. That is your inheritance, to be transfigured in light and glory. You know, the Lord's clothing lit up like a sun. They said He just lit up bright. When He came down from that mountain, He was just like everybody else. They got to look into something that was happening in the Spirit. We come down on the mountain, He wasn't lit up. But that power's on Him. Them disciples couldn't heal that man's boy, and immediately He healed him. Just immediately set him free. Every time He went up on the mountain, He'd come down and had revivals. Something was happening up there in the mountain. This is what God's bringing us to, a convergence. A convergence of exchange where He clothed us from on high. Metamorphosis. Transfiguration. We go in one way and go out another. Your faith can obtain it. I'm telling you, some of these encounters I've been having recently, when I would go in, I was feeling so far from God, I didn't even want to go in there. I mean, just feeling the weight, all kinds of stuff bearing down. All of a sudden, going through the door, making exchange, going into the rest, and keep pressing past the rest. Kept pressing in. Pressing in, and then what happened? All these scriptures and faith started coming out. I could see something there. And that's what causes you to move. Say, go a little further where the Father dwelleth. Go a little further into His love. Go a little further into His glory. Go a little further into transfiguration. Go a little further until He completes His redemption. He brings you into a fullness where you wear His glory. When you start wearing the glory of God, you are in a high place. And you have an inherited right, every single one in this place, to have that place. It's yours. Say, it's mine. It belongs to the sons and daughters. And Carlos, that was what that was about. They give the wealth of Egypt to the sons and daughters. It's free. It's free. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.